My pager buzzes again. Sit rep. I hit 3 more digits on the phone. Then I edge out of the cubicle and scramble back across the messy desk and out into the cool spring night, where I peel off those damned latex gloves and waggle my fingers at the moon. I'm so elated that I don't even remember the stack of discs I sent flying until I'm getting off the night bus at home. And by then, the imp of perversity is chuckling up his sleeve. I'm fast asleep in bed when the cell phone rings. It's in my jacket pocket where I left it last night, and I thrash around on the floor for a bit while it chirps merrily. Hello?
Bob?
It's Andy. I try not to groan. What time is it?
It's 9:30. Where are you?
In bed. What?
Thought you were going to be in at the debrief. When can you come in?
I'm not feeling too wonderful. Got home at about 2:30. Let me think. 11 good enough?
It'll have to be.
He sounds burned. Well, Andy wasn't the one freezing his butt off in the woods last night, was he?
See you there.
The implicit "or else" doesn't need enunciating. Her Majesty's Extra Secret Service has never really been clear on the concept of flexitime and sensible working hours. I shamble into the bathroom and stare at the thin rind of black mold growing around the window as I piss. I'm alone in the house. Everyone else is either out, working, or out, gone for good. That's out as in working for Pinky and the Brain, out as in fucked off for Mary. I pick up my senescent toothbrush and perform the usual morning ritual. At least the heating's on. Downstairs in the kitchen, I fill a percolator with nuclear caffeinated grounds and nudge it over the gas ring. I figure I can make it into the laundry by 11 and still have time to wake up first. I'll need to be alert for that meeting. Did last night go off properly or not? Now that I can't do anything about them, I remember the discs. Nameless dread is all very well when you're slumped in front of the TV watching a slasher movie, but it plays havoc with your stomach when you drop half a pint of incredibly strong black coffee on it in the space of 15 minutes. Brief, nightmarish scenarios flit through my head in order of severity. Written reprimands, unemployment, criminal prosecution for participating in a black bag job for which authorization is unaccountably retroactively withdrawn. Worst of all, coming home to find Mary curled up on the living room sofa again. Scratch that latter vision. The short-lived sadness gives way to a deeper sense of relief, tempered by a little loneliness. The loneliness of the long-distance spook? Damn, I need to get my head in order. I'm no James Bond, with a sexy KGB minx trying to seduce me in every hotel room. That's about the first thing they drum into you at Capital Laundry Services. Washes cleaner than clean! Life is not a spy movie. Work is not romantic, and there's nothing particularly exciting about the job. Especially when it involves freezing your balls off in a corporate shrubbery at 11 o'clock on a rainy night. Sometimes I regret not having taken the opportunity to study accountancy. Life could be so much more fun if I'd listened to the right recruiting spiel at the university milk round. But I need the money, and maybe one of these days they'll let me do something interesting. Meanwhile, I'm here in this job because all the alternatives are worse. So I go to work. The London Underground is famous for apparently believing that human beings go about this world owning neither kidney nor colon. Not many people know that there's precisely one public toilet in Mornington Crescent Station. It isn't signposted, and if you ask for it, the staff will shake their heads. But it's there all the same, because we asked for it. I catch the Metropolitan line to Euston Square, sharing a squalid, rattle-banging cattle car with a herd of bored commuters, then switch to the Northern line. At the next stop, I get out, shuffle up the staircase, go into the gents, and step into the right-hand rear stall. I yank up on the toilet handle instead of down, and the back wall opens like a big, thick door, plumbing and all, ushering me into the vestibule. It's all a bit like a badly funded B-movie remake of some 60s Hollywood spy thriller. A couple of months ago, I asked Boris why we bothered with it, but he just chuckled and told me to ask Angleton, meaning, bugger off.